So when I was a child, my parents sent me off to camp to Ramah in the Poconos, in a place that was fancifully called Lake Como, though I understand it bears only a glancing resemblance to the real Lake Como. And in the East Coast at that time, by the way, it was a two-month camp, so when you sent your kid away, you were really free for a while. You had to come up on Visitor's Day, but otherwise, you were good. And each morning, we had services by the lake, by a tree. It was beautiful. I mean, nobody wanted to get up for services, but once you actually got up and went there, it was really very nice, because unlike at Sinai Temple, when your mind wandered, you could look out at nature. And so I came back, and my father was the rabbi of a large congregation, not unlike Sinai Temple, and I said to him, "I don't get it. You don't need this building, because I've been to Camp Ramah, and I know all you need is a tree. And you can pray anywhere." And my father, who was a tolerant man, gave me several very good reasons why you needed a synagogue, but the truth is that there was something in my question that points to a paradox, to a contradiction in the Jewish tradition that we still struggle with, especially those of us who live outside of Israel, which is, if we introduced to the world the idea of a God who is everywhere, what do we need a country for? You can pray to God on Wilshire Boulevard, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. And if you say God feels somehow more present in Jerusalem, well, that's a strange thing, because after all, God's supposed to be the same everywhere. There isn't more God on Dizengoff than there is on Rodeo. Okay, maybe there is. All right. But pick a different street. But you get the idea, which is you're not supposed to have a place for God, because God has no place. So what do we need a country for? And in fact, if you look at the Jewish sources, very many Jewish sources will say there is something special about the land of Israel. When you go there, you become wiser. When you go there, you feel more spirit. Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav made a pilgrimage all the way from Uman, in what is now the former Soviet Union, all the way to Israel, came to the port of Jaffa, got off the boat, took one step in the city, went back on the boat and back to Uman, because that was all he needed. So it's a very strange thing. And you have to wonder, what do we need an Israel for? And yet, it is so deeply ingrained in us that we are oriented towards Jerusalem. That last night, we had scholars here at Friday Night Live from all over the world, which we do each year. They were from Jordan and Egypt and Indonesia and Kyrgyzstan and China, all over the world. And we had them up on the bima here before the service, and I was explaining to them the architecture of the synagogue and so on and so forth. And one of them says, "In what direction do you pray?" And I said, "Well, the truth is that Sinai Temple, the Ark, is facing west for architectural reasons, and you always pray in the direction of the Torah." I said, "But anytime you can, you pray east towards Jerusalem." And I pointed out, because the person who asked me was a Muslim from Indonesia, that was the great switch between Judaism and Islam. When Muhammad said that you have to reorient your prayers not towards Jerusalem, but towards Mecca. But for us, for the Jewish tradition, it's always been Jerusalem. Why? So as I said, you can talk about it in terms of the spiritual, mystical geography of the place. But really, that's not adequate. because really, according to the Jewish tradition, in the deepest sense, God was in the desert, God was in Egypt, God is in Los Angeles, God was in Babylonia, God is occasionally in Paris, and not only in Jerusalem. And yet, next week, we will mourn the destruction of the temple, the first temple and the second temple. And the reason we mourn the destruction of the temple is not just because the building came down, although that's true, not just because people were killed, although many scholars and sages, as well as many of the population of Israel, were killed, but we mourn it because we were put into exile. Because the Romans took the Jewish people, and for the last time at the end of the Bar Kokhba revolt, they said, get out of the land and never return. Because when you built a home in exile from the land, you were supposed to leave a corner of your house unpainted to remind you that you can never have a complete home if you're not in the land of Israel. That's what first the Babylonians and then the Romans did to us. And that is why the great Hebrew writer, Agnon, when he was accepting the Nobel Prize, was asked by the king of Sweden, where were you born? And the answer, of course, was Galicia. That's where he was born, and that's where he grew up before he came to Israel. But that's not what he said to the king of Sweden. I'm going to read you his answer. This is what he said. He said, Your Majesty, like all Jews, I was born in Jerusalem, but the Romans moved my cradle to Galicia. But his point is clear. The spiritual patrimony of the Jewish people is in the land. And the reason that is so is not because the rest of the world persecuted us and we needed a place that was our own. That may be true, but that isn't the origin of the Jewish attachment to Israel. Not because they hated us that we need a land. They hated us explained why we needed the land right now, why we could no longer wait. But for centuries, for millennia, long before, Jews were the victims of the kind of horrors that we saw in the last century, long before that. Jews knew that there was something, some special affinity. And the answer, in as much as there is a single answer, is that there has to be a place where Jews can live fully as Jews. One place in the world where you go to sleep as a Jew, you wake up as a Jew, you do your shopping as a Jew, you do your praying as a Jew, you do your arguing as a Jew. One place. And that's why, in the rest of the world, as the rabbis understood, we live as partial Jews. We speak non-Jewish languages to one another. We're engaged in all sorts of activities that don't have their origin in the Jewish tradition and among the Jewish people, but there should be a place to which Jews can go and in which Jews can live, where 24 hours a day you can be a Jew. And the strange paradox of the story that I told you at the beginning of this sermon is that's what I experienced for the first time when I went to Camp Ramah. For 24 hours, morning till night, around me were Jews. We woke up and we prayed and we played basketball. And when you did something wrong, you were rebuked with Hebrew terms. And when you did something right, someone said, Yasher Koach. And there was a sense in which this was the right way to live fully, was to be in a place where the atmosphere was soaked in our tradition. Now, if that seems abstract to you, let me tell you what I mean. A few months ago, our member, who is here almost every week, Judge Tarla, sent me something that his daughter Naomi, who is a poet, wrote when she first went to Israel. You know what the Shufersal is, right? That's the supermarket in Israel. She wrote to him as follows. So I'm checking out at the Shufersal. I have the essentials, some white wine, gluten-free pretzels, goat cheese, etc. The woman behind me starts rattling off in Hebrew. I manage to say, I think, that I don't speak Hebrew in Hebrew, and then I say it again in English. In a matter of 5 minutes, I was reprimanded for not speaking Hebrew, forgiven since I just got here. She was then excited that I moved here, disappointed that it wasn't permanent, congratulated for staying more than 10 days on Taglit, encouraged again to learn Hebrew, and invited to a Pesach Seder. And then she says, it was an experience, a sweet one. That's why. That's why Jews need a land of Israel. It doesn't have to do with hate, it has to do with love. Sometimes it bothers me when I see defenses of Israel that are predicated even from Jews entirely on, you see why we need a state of Israel, because look at the terrible things the world does to us. That's not why. That may be a reason, but it's not the reason. We don't need an Israel because of the non-Jewish world. We need an Israel because we have to create a Jewish world. Because there has to be a place where Jews can turn around and automatically yell at somebody, and it's okay because you know you share this bond, so it's like yelling at a member of your family. But then when you're done yelling, you invite them to the Seder. So I encourage you to remember that when we mourn, as we do on Tisha B'Av, the loss of the state of Israel, we're not mourning the loss of a place that's supposed to keep us safe from all the terrible things out there. First of all, because Israel was never that place. Jews always had trouble in Israel too. But also because it's not about what we're fleeing from. It's about what we're running to. Not about what we're scared of, but what we're proud of. Not about what they might do to us, but about what we might build for ourselves. That's why Israel is special. That's why we pray towards Jerusalem. That's why we say in our prayers, Ki mitzion tetzei Torah u'dvar Adonai mi'Yerushalayim. Because of out of Zion goes forth the Torah and God's word from Jerusalem. It was true then, it is true now, may it be forever so. Shabbat Shalom.